Hello and welcome to the B2B Marketing Podcast. My name is Joel Harrison. I'm Editor-in-Chief of B2B Marketing. This is your regular podcast on all things relating to B2B marketing. And I'm delighted to be joined today by Helen Wetton, who is Global Brand and Marketing Director at BT. And we'll be talking about the evolution of the BT brand, to focus purely on B2B, and her vision for running a great global marketing team, and the things that she sees as key to success for B2B marketers in 2024. So Helen, welcome. How are you?
Really well, thank you.
It's great to have you here. And we've got lots to talk about, so because there's a lot been going on in the BT marketing world recently.
There has been so much going on. It's been a really busy 10 months. I've got so much I want to share with you today.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for making time for this. So let's just start by setting the scene a bit. Tell us a bit about yourself and your current role and responsibilities. I've said the job title, but what does it actually mean? And tell us a bit about your background as a marketer.
Absolutely. So I'm currently, as you say, the Global Brand and Marketing Director at BT, and BT is purely focused on business, which we'll come on to later in this session. So my role is responsible for all of the brand and marketing activities for the BT business marketing team. And in the 10 months I've been in this role, I've had to amalgamate a global team, a UK team into one. We've absolutely optimized the way we operate, how we drive marketing solutions through new marketing capability, and how we really transform the brand. So, you know, I'm still on the job learning what the actual JD means in reality, but it's a really exciting time for us all.
It sounds like, I can tell you've been extremely busy. So yeah, we're going to dig in more into that bit later on. But am I right in thinking you've been in B2B for about 20 years?
If not a bit longer, Joel, dare I say it? Yeah, absolutely. I started way back when in an agency called DFB in Harrow, so a small little agency, and I was a production assistant. And this was when there were like faxes. I remember all the print quotes would come in, and I, on my first day, made the mistake of putting my hot coffee on the fax machine. You might not remember, but they go black and you can't read it. So that's where I started, you know, on the floor where, you know, there was one email for the organization. And I've, you know, seen the world technology massively shift. Marketing used to be, you know, postal drops. And now we have real integrated MarTech stacks that really can proliferate how customers engage with brands. So what a journey it's been.
Incredible journey. I can totally relate to that. My first company was very similar. I remember the fax machine going and those spools of paper coming out. It was very exciting, the fax machine. You can't begin to explain it to people today, can you? It's just extraordinary.
I mean, my kids say, what's a fax?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a whole other podcast about fax marketing, isn't there? Not for today. But you've worked agency side. You worked for a number of very big B2B agencies, and you worked for some iconic B2B brands as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I worked agency side for the first probably 10 years of my career. I launched Java from Sun Microsystems in the UK. I then established Gyro, which was one of the largest B2B agencies at the time. So I helped in the San Francisco office, the Geneva office, with events, you name it. So yeah, some really big brands that today still exist. Oracle, we've just seen them grow and grow and grow. And it's been wonderful to be part of the early journey and watch it from afar. Java. Yeah, do you remember Java? Yeah. I still remember the logo. Very much agency for the first part of my career. I then, you know, natural entrepreneur, I set up my own business. So I worked for myself for a good number of years and actually did a lot of marketing with more B2C brands, so The White Company, Crucial Trading, Virgin V, which was really interesting and a different stance on marketing, but, you know, very, very interesting. But post kids, the one thing that had never happened in my career was working client side. And I genuinely thought clients wrote briefs and gave it to agencies and put their feet up. I had no idea what I was in for. But I got the chance to join Vodafone as a campaign manager. And I loved it and quite quickly got back on the career ladder and worked really hard to get to where I am today.
Fantastic. And it sounds like agencies was a really good kind of proving ground. You learned your skills there, and that kind of gave you the what you needed to then go client side. Is that fair? Because they're culturally quite different working environments, right?
Really, really different. And I remember when I interviewed at Vodafone, the marketing director kind of really noodled into whether I was going to be able to make that leap, because she had, in the most part, hadn't seen that being successful. But I think for me, what a great grounding it gave me was in an agency, the natural collaboration, you know, you cannot deliver campaigns if you don't have copy or you don't have design. And so everyone has to work together. And I think it's only now when I look back, it's that grounding that probably makes me what I am today and what I bring as a superpower to a marketing team, because collaboration is just at the core of who I am. And in a large organization, a large complex matrix, you know, it's the number one super skill you need, in my opinion.
Oh, okay, we're going to talk about that later on. That's a great tee up. So, okay, so we've got your background nicely nailed, done loads of stuff, stellar career and all that kind of stuff. And but now you've arrived in BT. Tell us when you arrived and tell us a bit about the context of the organisation, because EE had been acquired a few years before that. Is that correct? EE is the mobile network. If you're listening from outside the UK, EE is a mobile network, and BT is, well, you can tell us about what BT is or was.
Absolutely. So BT acquired EE back in 2016 as very much the mobile arm of the business. And latterly, in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of work undertaken by my predecessors and our consumer colleagues to understand, like, how do these two brands come together? Because they're both really valuable brands within the UK. And a decision was made that actually EE was probably a stronger brand to play more prevalently within the consumer market. And it gave us the chance in business to kind of take the BT brand as being a purely dedicated to business brand, which is what you've seen over probably the last few months. We saw our colleagues in consumer do a fantastic launch of new EE back in October, which has been, you know, received with such great aplomb. The public love it, and it's given us the chance to really shape what BT looks like as a business brand, and really talk more than just perhaps how we've been perceived as a broadband organization.
Because it's, and it's yeah, it's kind of sorting out the kind of polarity, because for background for listeners who are outside the UK, BT is a national, historically national phone network, right? You know, and it was historically nationalised into a long, long time ago, but it's an iconic brand. I mean, you can't really understate how iconic it is. But it was very historically very kind of, you know, the advertising was very consumer focused, as it would be. It was TV advertising and direct mail. So that was that halo. And then, so you're kind of building a new future now for the brand in terms of a new positioning, but with that legacy, I suppose.
Absolutely. I mean, I've called it internally like the big BT reframe. It's such a valuable brand. It's sixth largest in the UK. And it's one that I've known for many, many years. You know, I grew up with BT and, you know, having the phone fixed to the wall when I was a young child. But it's now chance to go, you know, BT is now a dedicated business brand. It is so much more than broadband. We look after big organisations across the globe, all the way down to small SOHO organisations. And it's now, how do we position ourselves as that? And also counter some of the halo loss, because we don't have that consumer halo. So, you know, there will be some brand consideration impacts that we've got to counter.
But the flip side of that, though, is you, and I can appreciate that, there's a slight a repositioning, but you mentioned that you're dealing with large global organisations, because I understand that there was the consulting arm, which is BT Global Services, is now as part of your remit. Is that correct? So you've got this kind of, you know, everything from SMEs right up to large, huge global corporates as customers. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right. In last April. Right. Actually, April 2023, so nearly a year ago now, there was a merger of the global and the UK business under one BT business. So yeah, absolutely. My marketing team now look after both the UK and global customers.
And if so, it feels like a rationalization in many ways. It's kind of making sense of some things which had some historical anomalies and giving it an opportunity to go forward with more clarity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've, you know, in amalgamating the teams, we've been able to really drive some efficiencies across the marketing we do for corporates in the UK and corporates globally, and just really optimize our outcomes.
So, and that's great to understand. And I'm just going back to the point about BT's brand strength, historic strength. I mean, I'm old enough to remember, if you grew up in the 70s and 80s, there was a character called Busby in the 80s. This is kind of cartoon bird, wasn't it, that they used to bounce on the telephone wires. I mean, that's the longevity and the kind of deep cultural immersion in British society of BT as a brand is quite a thing. You know, there aren't many brands, there can't many be business brands that have got that depth of resonance, cultural resonance within the UK population, certainly. How does it feel to be the steward of that brand?
I mean, I remember Busby, and who would have thought that, you know, that young girl who would be on her phone to her friends many years ago and her dad after 10 minutes going, get off the phone, would now steward that brand. And honestly, this is, you know, a dream job for me, and owning that brand. And I'm so passionate about how we really surface the brilliance within the organization and the brilliant technologies we have, the patents, the innovations, so much that I didn't know until I joined the organization. We're a classic British business where we hide some of the great stuff. And in some of the marketing that we're starting to do and surface is really about high-fiving and showcasing that brilliant technology background that we've got.
And tether to that, I mean, the fact that BT's had this very strong brand historically, does that mean that culturally marketing is understood and valued in the organisation? Because in some B2B organisations, historically, they, you know, there isn't that necessarily that understanding, perhaps, or that the due respect the marketing should get. But is that the case in BT, or because you've got that consumer brand platform historically, they get it?
I'd say no. And I think, you know, you're absolutely right. In most B2B marketing teams I've worked in, there's always been, you know, a tension between sales and marketing. But the journey we're on as a team is to really go from what I inherited was very much more of a marketing service team, where we would deliver outcomes, be it white papers or events, to being at the front of the ship and going, how does marketing become a growth engine? How do we drive real return on investment for our CFO? And how do we actually hold ourselves to account and say no to some stuff? Because not everything is the right thing to do, but we need to do that with credibility and alongside our sales colleagues, so that we're completely aligned on the outcomes we want. So there's a couple of things I'm doing. It is about asking sales, what's the outcome? And then as a profession, we then look at how we deliver that outcome in the best way. And also holding some of my peers to account when they use perhaps some more derogatory statements around marketing, like marketing fluff, or, you know, you're the fairy dust team with colouring in department. These terms are used. And it's about holding up a mirror and saying, you know, this is a profession. The majority of my team have degrees and qualifications in marketing, and it is an art and science, right? You know, we've worked in this field for many, many years, and it's not just colouring in. It is a degree of psychology. It's about creativity, the art, the science, and how it comes together to drive that growth. So we're on a journey, I would say.
Well, and that's, I'm sure it sounds like you're on a journey to the same way as many other marketing leaders in B2B organizations. You've just got a different set of baggage to and challenges to overcome to get there. And it sounds to me like you've got, it's a true marketing transformation, because you're transforming the role and the perception of marketing internally, but from externally looking in, but also how marketing behaves and how it projects itself externally. And so it's kind of like patting your head and rubbing your tummy, I suspect. You're trying to do both things at once.
Yeah, and don't forget MarTech as well. You know, we're transforming in that environment as well. So kind of it's this trifecta of three bits of transformation, taking, you know, the team on the journey, because they are the most talented team. And I genuinely feel like I'm taking the ceiling off and I can see the talent rising. And we've seen that in the launch that we did earlier this month. I couldn't be prouder.
Excellent. Well, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. I mean, just, but before we get onto that, just in terms of the kind of customer base, we talked about the fact that you've got these broad spectrum. There's also international as well. I mean, you've got the SMEs, everything from very small businesses in, you know, in the UK, broadband and other kind of services, you know, all the way up to, and I guess there's a bit of crossover there with probably some of the EE customers as well, and also the global organisations. And are you having to reinvent marketing to all those groups at the same time? I mean, I guess you've got to simultaneously re-engineer how you go to market for everybody. Is that fair? We can leave those for a while and we can focus on those. You've got to do everybody at once.
Everyone at once. And believe me, all the sales MDs are very demanding of us. It's about being really clear on, you know, how do we talk to those smaller organizations and painting a picture, right? So a Soho might be a barista on a beach in Cornwall, and you know, in this cashless society, they just need connectivity to take payments. That is critical. And if they can't take payments, they don't make any money that day. So how do we support them? What are the solutions we can give them? And how do we go to market to those types of businesses, all the way through into, you know, the big global banks, the CISOs that've got cybersecurity threats? You know, they've got really complex technological footprints, you know, more complex than ever before. Many of them are legacy businesses like we have. So they're trying to go on their own transformation. So I think the commonality is what they're all looking for is how technology can help them solve problems, how it can keep their business afloat, how it can keep them in a job. And luckily, BT is such a solid brand. No one gets fired for hiring us. We just need to make sure that we are delivering and we have their back every step of the way.
Okay. Now, I understand that March, you've talked about this transformation ongoing, but March was a big deal for you because you kind of launched your new brand platform, a TV or a commercial, which I guess has gone out on all kinds of channels. I guess a whole other stuff as well. Tell us a bit about March. What was the build up to March all about? And then you've and tell us a bit about what now happens, what's going on from here on in.
So the first thing I did when I came into role was really understand, you know, what is that brand platform? And the brand platform I inherited was very much a UK-centric one, so probably more tailored to a Soho SME audience. So we took that and developed it so it absolutely had resonance with our large and global customers. And the one thing in our customer insight that came out loud and clear was that BT very much felt like a partner of our customers, regardless of their size. And so that was kind of the ethos of our positioning, like our role. And we talk internally about we're Q to James Bond. So, you know, we all know James Bond. Q is slightly nerdy, but he is super bright. He never, ever, ever lets James Bond down. And James Bond can do his thing, be suave, sophisticated, and save the world with absolute confidence that the car's going to work, the watch will work, the parachute will open, because his Q's got his back. And so that was absolutely the epitome of the platform that we've developed. So We've Got Your Back became our brand platform. And we then aligned with our HR colleagues. And I think this is one of the big moments and the big unlocks and the big recommendations I would make to, you know, anyone is align with your culture and strategy, because the brand promise only becomes a reality when it's the experience that customers have. And so we launched our joined EVP, employee value proposition and brand, on the 7th of March. So earlier this month, with both internally with our colleagues and then externally with the ad that you spoke about.
And that sounds really exciting. You're bringing everyone. I mean, you've got to communicate it with the with your internal staff anyway, but to really kind of to formalize that and to try and to actively seek to leverage the advantage of doing that in an excellent fashion seems like the right thing to do. And I guess in an organization in transition where you've got functions moving around, there's even more need to do that. So, and you also then you've got a team around the world, presumably. So there's multiple reasons why it's critical to do. So there's a commercial which you can find, search for online if you're looking want to see it. I mean, I've had a look at it. It's great. We shared it on socially a couple of weeks back when it came out. What happens now? You've done the big launch. I imagine there's a cascade of activities, an ongoing campaign. Are there any particular milestones or key things that you're looking forward to or next things you're building up towards in your kind of marketing planning?
So I think, you know, we're still really early days with the first campaign launching, and one of the jobs to be done with it being the first BT specific or business specific ad is about really looking at, are we shifting the dial on the 30% of the population that see us as a dedicated business brand. So that is absolutely why we mentioned the word business 21 times in the ad. So we need to do some research to go, have we landed that? Is there more of a job to be done? And you also would have noticed in the ad, Joel, that we it was very much about centering around our customers. So not about our technology, not about, you know, the super fast speeds or the reliability, but about how we support our customers. So going back to the Q and James Bond. And so the next thing we want to do is explore more about our customers' world and the unique and inspirational, wonderful, diverse world that is business. For me, I think there's a reason why programs like The Apprentice and Dragon's Den are so popular. we're all fascinated. We're all entrepreneurs at heart, even if we don't own a business. And that for me is how we create those human connections with our audience by talking about the brilliance that our customers do every day in the unique settings that that is their business.
I think we're all more marketing, certainly in the UK, I mean, I suspect in the US it's been the case for longer, but we're all kind of more entrepreneurially savvy, if that's even a word, than we may have been 10 or 20 years ago. And that's exciting. Was it challenging then to make that messaging communicate with that entrepreneurial group, small business, all the kind of enormous, limitless variety there, but also make it resonant to those corporates, or did that give you an ability to kind of play more and to be a bit more playful perhaps in your messaging and more, I guess, consumer like in terms of how you positioned it? Was it a strength or an opportunity or a challenge?
Do you know, we took it as an opportunity. I think, you know, in the early test of the storyboard, and we tested it with businesses of all size, even the large corporate seeing what we did in the small business and vice versa gave them confidence that we weren't a fly by night. We weren't specialists. We were there for every organization and we understood the challenges. Interestingly, some of the larger organizations loved our understanding of consumers and the smaller businesses because they're actually often talking to them. So it gave us a real 360 opportunity to have a different viewpoint. And then when we had that confidence that we were playing in the right field, we then really played with, you know, Adam and Eve, who are a fantastic partner for us, to go, how do we really make it stand out? Because B2B does have a bit of a history of perhaps being a little bit more staid and, you know, the standard grey suits and the handshakes, and whoever looks like that anymore. So how do we really acknowledge that business is different these days? You know, we all work from home on odd days, we come together, you know, no one wears a suit that often anymore. And, you know, this is, you know, 2024, let's represent what business actually looks like and have fun with it, which hopefully you saw in our ad. And it built some of those connections and a wry smile, which was our aim.
Yeah, it was great. And I think it was very fresh and kind of very contemporary. And is, I'm guessing this is a statement of intent, right? You're not looking to go back. You're trying to push this. This is the style at which B2B is going to communicate. BT is going to communicate from here on in.
No, I can't tell you how well it's resonated both internally and externally. When we did the internal launch the day before we went live on the Gogglebox ad break, the workplace forum of engagement was off the scale. It was the most internal activation and engagement we've seen for anything, be it a strategy, you know, an annual kickoff. Our sentiment score, which is measured between -1 and +1, was 0.9. So we pretty much landed 100% with our colleagues. Everyone was sharing it. When our CEO Baz launched the ad on LinkedIn, it was the most engaged post he's ever had. We had the most ever employee repost. So what we were seeing is our colleagues had pride in it. I was getting emails from, you know, the global sales team going, finally, we can see our customers represented. It's not just small business and Soho. And it genuinely feels like it has ignited this energy and pride within the business team. You know, it's palpable. On the day, it was palpable. And I had the absolute honor of being with our new group CEO, Alison Kirkby, on the day. Luckily, she loved it. So to your question, will we be going back? Absolutely not. You know, she's going to push us to go even harder because it does center on our customers and it does engage. But it was
at the same time doing something. Sorry, I cut you off a bit there, Helen. So, you know, it is bold. It is different. You know, it's not. It is moving with the trend of where B2B is going. But at the same time, it's not. It's you know, it's pushing boundaries. Not what you expect from BT, certainly a few years back. What was the attitude of you mentioned a couple of your senior colleagues there? How much did you have to sell this approach into them? Was there any cynicism that you got in the kind of planning process? Because once it's live, you can go, oh, it's great. But once you're planning it, you go, we're going to do all this crazy stuff. I can, you know, not everyone's necessarily going to buy it straight away. What was the reaction like when you were talking about it in its planning process?
You know, the board were really positive. You know, as we were going through the process of aligning with the EVP and then talking to each of the MDs, they understood it. They liked the platform, and particularly the large corporate and the global MDs felt it really played to their area. And so the selling wasn't too hard. I remember the one meeting I thought might be quite challenging was walking Baz through the storyboard. So Baz is our CEO. You know, and the storyboard is you know, it's sketchy, but you've seen the ad, it is a bit different. And there were a few eye-raised moments from him, but it was all grounded in insight, why we'd chosen the characters we had or the industries we had. And he absolutely had my back. I know that I'm complete pun there, but he totally had faith in me and the team, which was massively empowering and scary in equal measures.
Well, I mean, we have this conversation so much, and I think the marketers that I respect always say that actually you wouldn't want it to be completely safe. It has to be a bit risky. Otherwise, you're not really doing your job properly. You've got to be pushing the boundaries. So, I mean, I asked that question slightly mischievously because nothing's ever a walk in the park, and every marketing campaign has a bit of risk. But it feels like it's creatively, it feels like it's paid off. It looks great. And it seems like it positions you brilliantly. So it's great to get a picture of where you are with this and this journey, Helen. And I appreciate you're really still quite early on a journey in a transformation. But as we discussed right at the top, you know, you've been in B2B for 20 years now, which is as long as it's our 20th birthday this year. So you know, we share. I've been in that journey in a parallel to you. Where do you think B2B marketing is right now, and its kind of maturity and sophistication? And you know, what impresses you and what concerns you about where it is right now?
I think, you know, B2B market always was and probably still is to some extent. There's a rhetoric about it being quite tech and credentials that probably are more associated with masculine qualities. What impresses me is seeing actually females coming to the fore with it, particularly within B2B marketing, and beginning to own that space and actually having senior roles. You know, I feel very lucky when I look around my B2B marketing peers to see, you know, a lot more people that look like me than perhaps I aspired to be 20 years ago. So I think, you know, I think there's a real opportunity, particularly, you know, for females to grow into this space. You know, we can all see tech coming to the fore now in marketing. You know, we've talked about that a lot through this podcast. So that gives us great opportunity. So really encouraging, particularly, you know, my junior team to embrace technology and understand the power of it, because more and more that is where marketing is going to go, and it's going to be an exciting journey to go on.
Absolutely. I guess final thoughts of you. So you've just, you know, you've got this fantastic career in B2C marketing. You've landed, you know, relatively recently this great job, this job at this iconic B2B brand. There are going to be plenty of B2B aspiring leaders listening to this podcast thinking, okay, what do I need to do to get there? What do I need to do to get to that kind of position at the top of my profession? Is there one piece of advice that you'd offer to marketers in that position who want to get there and want to learn from you?
I honestly, look, I'm still learning, and I say it to my team all the time. I make mistakes each and every day. And I'm probably only coming into my own and wearing my own skin and owning my own voice now. So I think my one advice to my team, and I say it a lot, is find out who you are. Find out who your genuinely authentic self is very early in your career. And don't be afraid that it might be different to someone else, because that's what makes you unique. You know, understand that superpower, because that's the core of who you are. You know, I could never be the most technical person in the room, but I know my superpower is about connecting people, being that glue, being that energy source. And that is what has powered me through any role. So that would be my big advice. You know, work out who you are, what your superpower is, and just double down on that.
That's very wise words. Be yourself.
Be yourself.
As the expression goes, everyone else is taken. But no, it's great advice. Helen, it's been fascinating to talk to you. And I'm really enjoying watching the kind of transformation of the BT brand from afar. I feel everyone, certainly in the UK, has a kind of stake in this organisation. So it's fascinating to watch. So thanks for taking the time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for inviting me along.
You're absolutely welcome. Hopefully, going to hear much more from you as well in the coming months and things via various B2B marketing activities. So watch this space. Thanks for listening today, everybody. Don't forget to subscribe. Lots more great stuff coming on about, lots of great interviews coming on with inspirational B2B marketing marketers in the coming next few issues of this podcast. So thanks a lot for listening. Goodbye.